So you guys know how there are badges in Animal Crossing New Leaf?
Fake achievements.
They're achievement-esque. There's one you get for how long you've been playing.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gross.
And I got the 50-hour one,
mm-hmm.
like, 3 weeks ago. Gross. And I'm, like, so fucking scared to get the next. I'm so, like, there's no way of keeping track of how long you've played except for these things. So, like,
you're dreading the arrival of that, like, teddy bear.
That fucking beaver dude is going to roll in and be like, hey, dog. 5 days. 5 days of your life are mine now. How do you like your furniture sets? Oh, you've completed modern wood, and it only took you 5 of your real-life goddamn days.
Your life tastes like wood to him, because he's a beaver.
It tastes like modern wood, and also shells, because I'm a shell. I'm a husk now.
Yeah, shells don't sell very well, though.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
Forgot what you're doing, huh?
No, I was hitting the consonants.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Russ Frostick, and I know the best thing of the week.
Guys, we need to stop for a minute. I left my DS in another room.
No.
Well, no.
Guys, you can't be playing Animal Crossing while the show is going on.
Yeah. Definitely can't.
Who is? Admit it. Who is right now?
No. Nope.
Say it. Say it out loud.
I literally closed it. I was doing it all through the intro.
Admit it to Jesus. Who's still playing? This is the Besties, where we talk about the latest, greatest, and most spectacular in tech, movies, art, opera, gaming, you name it. This week, we're focused on gaming. We're four best friends, and we talk about games and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Hey, community, let us know in the comments if you want us to actually do an all Animal Crossing episode.
Please,
we're ready to do turnip prices.
Did I tell you guys that I saw John C. McGinley at the airport? I was leaving LAX. I was in security, and who's behind me looking dapper, carrying what appeared to be a ukulele case, but John C. McGinley.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. This is not John C. Reilly, who I can picture in my brain.
It is John C. Reilly.
Okay, because John C. McGinley, if I recall, is the guy that shows up on a lot of series that then get canceled.
No, John C. Reilly. John C. Reilly?
John C. Reilly
is from Have you really gotten
Walk
those
Hard.
Two confused for the better part of a week? Because they physically couldn't look any more different from each other.
Also, I don't think John C. McGinley. I think it's just John McGinley.
Who's the doctor on Scrubs?
John C. McGinley.
Never mind. I was thinking of the neighbor in Married with Children.
Whoa, that's Ted McGinley. This just in, guys. I almost tried to introduce myself to John C. Reilly, and I 100% would have addressed him as Mr. McGinley. So I am really glad that I got that fucking sorted out in my head.
I'm sorry I was not there.
And by sorted out, you mean that you're a huge pussy.
Yeah, right. But I mean, it saved me this time. So my fear of social interaction was well-founded, which is so rare. Someone put a picture, an IMDb page of John C. McGinley? Yeah, right. He's handsome.
Yeah, like we know what he looks like.
I know it now.
Who's bringing what? And it's a big week, and we need to get into it, because I'm a busy
man. Let's start with Justin's thing, because Justin's thing is a big news item.
Oh, man. Hachimachi. It's the biggest... okay, my official nomination was Best Switcheroo Niski. Now, I say that just to leave myself room in case I want to give the award to the Best Switcheroo, the Best Switcheroonie, the Best Switcheroo Niski. And that is the Xbox 180, as the people are calling it.
Get it?
No, okay, listen. It's not just funny. It's tremendously appropriate.
Right.
It's not just it's fantastic. It's not just
Can we just acknowledge the fact that, like, somebody made that joke before that fucking page even went up? Like, as soon as those early reports hit Giant Bomb and what Hi-Fi, like, somebody was like, Xbox 180. And then, like, this morning, people were like, hey, guys, Xbox 180. And it's like, dog.
I don't think it's... I wasn't trying to be funny. I'm just saying that that's what people are calling it. It's like Watergate or whatever. It's just a name X-Bone. People put in there.
So who came up with the 180 thing?
Probably me.
Yeah, it seems like
Can
a Justin
Can somebody
thing.
Explain it to me? I'm not sure I understand.
Okay. So do you know what derm is?
Mm-hmm.
Xbox One had bad derm on it.
Okay, wait, I don't know what derm is. Raleigh derm?
It stands for digital. Digital.
Oh.
Rights.
Right.
Mine.
Right.
Mine. Microsoft's. It belongs to Microsoft. It's basically said that all of your digital rights belong to Microsoft.
Right.
So and that was.
Yes, DRM stands for Digital Rights Management.
Pretty sure it's Digital Rights Microsoft's.
Okay. Microsoft had imposed some rules for the Xbox One, including your inability to share physical games unless you or sell physical games unless you sold them to an approved retailer. The 24-hour online check where the system would stop playing games if it did not go online once every 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
These policies were, of course, very unpopular with people.
There was also sharing. Like, you couldn't give a disc to someone, or you could only do it once.
Could.
It's very complicated.
You could only do it once, and only if you were friends with them. We did a whole episode of
yeah,
this,
we don't
right?
need to dig deep. Just I like that plan is playing
anyway,
the audience
Anyway, they said fuck all that.
Yeah.
After basically wasting the most important news week, the most important week-long news cycle in the entire fucking year, after completely blowing it by announcing their crazy, nutso policies right before the biggest news cycle of the year, and then fucking blew the week, and now afterwards they're like, oh, okay, we realize we fucked up, so now we're going to get back in.
See, this is where I have a problem. I don't think it's draconian. Like, I mean, it was very forward-looking. I mean, this is the way things are going. I mean,
let's talk about what the reversal is, and then we'll get into this.
Okay, so the reversal is basically none of it. No, I mean they're not doing anything.
It's going to be exactly like
Like Xbox 360. I mean, the problem I have with it is obviously like I understand completely. For me, the idea of divorcing games from discs is like. Corey Banks, who's a PC gamer now, he called it the pawn shopification of video games, and I think that and he talked about how this continues that like
explain
turning games into a commodity that are bought and sold used like this, and not making an experience where you own a game and that's yours. This idea of like you know what? Games being secondhand commodities that you
I feel like,
can buy and
I feel,
sell.
Aren't there like 10% of the people that think that? Because with that policy that they announced, I felt like I didn't own the fucking game
exactly.
If I couldn't decide what I wanted to do with
or
it
if,
afterwards.
Or if their servers went down, you wouldn't
I don't
be able to play the game
any,
you
I mean,
quote
I don't,
own?
I don't want to like, I don't want to misconstrue my point here. The way they explained it was horrific.
Yeah,
I mean, a PR debacle of like unimaginable proportions.
And it just kept going with like
and
support
it just
tweets.
Kept
and it
going.
Was bad.
Nightmarish. I mean, the idea is not inherently bad. It's just the execution was bad. Not quite as bad as the messaging, but like the idea of doing this physical game thing again is just so weird. I mean, it's so backwards because you're locking us into that for 5 years, and like
at the very least,
and I think that a lot of like what you see in like flexible pricing that is able to be done on PC, things like that, is because that's an all digital space.
Oh, but there's no way they would have video games, AAA video games, using the model that Microsoft proposed. We're not going to get less than $59.99 a pop. There's no fucking
no,
way.
There is no. First off, there a there's no way of knowing that. B, what keeps those things. I mean, part of what keeps those prices like they are is the insane markup that GameStop puts on them. I mean, the idea of having to push these things into physical channels,
yeah, but
I think it hampers. It's okay. It hampers a lot of the pricing.
There is no way that EA would pass the savings on to you. Like,
that's the thing.
not a chance we have, in hell.
We have shitloads of digital options for purchasing games and physical games. Have you? Can you think of five examples where three examples? How about one example where the digital game at launch, they're like, all right, so we don't have to fucking ship this to retailers. We're going to knock Tensky off for you, the gamer, because we love
when
you so
it,
much.
What possible, I mean, where has that situation ever occurred? Where
that's what I'm saying.
Where there's a digital version and not a retail version.
Oh,
no, that happens all the time. I'm saying when they launch alongside one another, they cost the same amount of money.
SimCity was a digital version and a physical version.
Because they have to stay in bed with GameStop, and they can't undercut the price that GameStop is selling
exactly.
for, because that relationship is important. And what Microsoft has done is just continue that relationship for another 5 years. So now
I think the bigger problem here is communication and trust, right? Like, one, this whole thing... I think the message was just delivered in the worst possible way. There were things that seemed interesting that Microsoft was offering, like the sharing with your family plan, or being able to lend a game, a digital copy of a game, or just your copy of a game to someone. There was a lot of good, and they said it in all the wrong ways. And I think when you present this new plan, you don't want to come out and present it how you would to a corporate board meeting, right? You don't want to put all the evil stuff first and be like, well, here's how we're going to do well. When you're talking to human beings, you want to say, well, here's how you're going to benefit from this. And I don't think they said...
Exactly.
They delivered it like it was a board meeting, not like it was a human-to-human interaction.
And here's the thing. I'm totally for this digital future that everybody is clamoring for, but you're right, Justin. It is about trust. And they, like, I have absolutely... They have no line of credit in that department with me yet. If they had done anything to move in that direction during this past generation, then I would be totally fine with it. But I don't feel like anybody has. Sony, Microsoft, or Nintendo. Like,
you're
100% nobody.
Right. I mean, there's no question about it. My only point is, it's a shame that I believe in digital distribution as the sole platform of a console. I think that is a healthy way for the industry to progress. And I just hate to see that because Microsoft fucked it up so bad and didn't think about execution or response or anything, we get this bungled, attempt at it where the answer is just to completely backpedal and not push things forward at all.
Well,
I just think that's unfortunate.
Here's the silver lining to all this. I agree with you, Justin. I too am looking forward to things going all digital. Like, I don't need 50,000 copies in my house. Like, I'm looking forward to going all digital. But the bright side to all of this for Sony and for Microsoft and Nintendo to a certain extent, they've certainly been trying, is that from what I understand, every single game that comes out will be day and date a digital release as well.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to go to GameStop, and frankly, I've been there enough to know that I certainly don't want to go because it's such a miserable shopping experience.
Just say Amazon. Nobody goes to GameStop anymore. Everybody uses Amazon.
No, but plenty of people do have to go to GameStop and like wait on midnight lines and stuff like that. I'm just saying.
I guess if you don't have a Prime membership, if you're one of the fucking
there are
holes.
People like that.
Wow.
So. I'm just
70
saying,
bucks a year, people. Get it. It's the best yeah, service on offer
wow.
anywhere in the world. I'm sorry I called you a prole if you don't have Amazon Prime, but really, what the fuck are you doing?
I just want to say every game will now be digital. So if you want your Call of Duty digital, if you want your whatever game you like digital, you can get it day and date. You won't have to worry about discs, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's yours. And now, bright side, if you get a downloadable game that doesn't require an internet connection, you won't need to connect to the internet every day. And that was honestly the biggest issue that I had with their policies, was that even living in New York City, my internet goes down every once in a while for several days, and that was going to be real bad. So it's not that bad, all things considered. I'm happier where Microsoft is now than I was 3 days ago. I think it's a big improvement.
Certainly.
I just want to make one more comment on the trust thing and why I think the Microsoft thing is such a bummer is because they didn't do it the right way, that trust is so low that it's going to be a while before I think anyone has the chance to come out and even try. And on the flip side of seeing a company that did it right, that, you know, did have issues with DRM when it first announced, was Valve and Steam. I mean, people had serious reservations with Steam. And what they have done is they've built this trust, they've earned the trust by having the deals and having low prices and trying to work with the consumers and give them what they want. I think that's the obvious model that these larger companies should be trying to rip off. And it's disappointing that they seem to have not even looked at it.
But as, like, the way I consume games, and I honestly, like, have no metric for whether or not I'm in the minority or not, is I approach it from a very archival point of view. Like, the games I don't buy every game. I buy the games that are, like, special to me, that I think are going to remain special to me, that I, you know, I like having in a physical collection. I like looking at my collection of 100% good games I love, and just like knowing that I have them and thinking about them as pieces of media that I own that I can like show my kids no issue, or like ship to my dad for him to borrow it, because like he loves games but he doesn't buy a lot of them because he's kind of clueless about games, or like let my friends borrow. And like I do use Gamefly. I rent shit from Gamefly if I'm unsure about whether or not I want to add it to my, you know, bug collection. Like that's the way that I play and buy and consume games. And the model that Microsoft proposed literally shut that down in every conceivable fashion. I guess I understand what you're saying, and I'm also like, I want that digital future, but like not if it comes at the expense of my way of life when it comes to gaming.
No, I completely agree with you. And the craziest thing about this is that they put this completely in the context of here is what it's like, How to Win Friends and Influence People, like 101 shit. Like you don't put stuff in the context of here's what I need you to do for me, because no one cares.
Do you
like,
think
nobody cares?
Do
you
think
what you
if they had announced their plans and they hadn't had the 24-hour checks, if it had been more about an accessibility, all you're going to have a cloud library you can take anywhere with you, and had it be less about we don't want anybody pirating shit, so we're just going to assume you are. Like, do you think if they had pitched it as more of an accessibility thing and less of a you know, DRM assurance,
that definitely would have been a big improvement. Yeah, at most, it was the biggest issue was a marketing issue. It was poor messaging from beginning to end.
Released on a Friday night, wasn't it? Like,
well, that's because
Friday,
they knew how
Friday,
bad they buried it.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
take out the trash day.
Oh, for sure.
But it's not take out the trash day when every fucking journalist on the planet flies to Los Angeles for E3 literally 12 hours later.
Yeah, they should have
like,
done
what
it.
Are guys, what are you guys
on Friday after E3 when everyone's in a coma?
Well, no, I'm sure that they didn't. Here's what's great is I'm sure they didn't want everybody asking them about this shit all through E3, so they announced it, and then it's all anybody asked them about at E3. Like, how much, like, coverage of Microsoft's position in the next-gen race and, like, coverage of their games catalog and the promise of next-gen correct, like, Kinect, how much shit like that did you see hit the press compared to... Like, oh, Sony's kicking your guys' asses through your faces.
They completely lost the conversation. It's it is a complete debacle. I mean, no.
It's a fucking fiasco. I'm going to upgrade it from debacle to fiasco.
Yikes.
I will say Gamescom is going to be, like, now that the fucking gloves are...
Well, it's a software battle now. It's just about software now.
I gotta say, also, and I'm mainly playing devil's advocate here, but I do want to say that I was also kind of looking forward to a console where, like, a console generation where the two were significantly different.
Yeah, me too.
Ways.
It was like a legit console war where, like, it's not like you were voting for two political candidates that were exactly damn same. Like, there was a drastic shift in the way people were doing things, and now it's a bit of a bummer because it really just is the same like the last generation. Who has more games I'm more interested in?
Well, it's worse now. It's PC or PC,
right? But well, right, but those three, I mean, you can say it's three PCs, four PCs, sorry, Wii U. Well, three PCs and a Wii U. That's my favorite movie. That's my favorite Steve Guttenberg flick. But like things like their marketplace ecosystems, like we've gotten a little bit of information about what PlayStation is doing. We know it's going to be by far the more indie friendly system, which I think is still very, very promising. There's still hardware differences. Like I think every Xbox One game is probably going to incorporate Kinect and at least first party and smart glass in some fashion. Like that's going to be a huge focus, while fucking Sony showed off a single tech demo with the PlayStation Eye at E3, it's like they're hardly pushing that message at all. Like, there's still going to be major differences between these consoles.
And obviously the TV stuff with Xbox, the fact that it plugs into your cable box is a big deal.
Which I am... wet fart. What? Did you say wet fart?
I mean, it is. It's probably, at this point, the only major differentiating factor, except for the camera, is the fact that it's...
That's the other crazy thing about E3, and I don't know if we talked about this, but like, their whole E3 presentation, the main reason that they have such a massive price gulf between the PS4 and the Xbox One is the camera, and they didn't say the word Kinect. They didn't make a case for having it in the package. Like, I have no
idea why it's there. Well, apart
that felt
from voice
like
controls.
I was consulted, you know, like. A consultancy firm came and they're like, hey, every time you said Kinect last year, people groaned. And they're let's not do that. Don't say sports either. Like,
that's because that's all they showed off. But here's the thing. Behind closed doors at E3, they were showing off a tech demo for how the Kinect could be utilized in new ways using first-person shooters. And it was pretty fucking cool. That's the kind of, like, your new technology can actually be used in, not that the Kinect was not used in cool ways for games on Xbox 360, but in Xbox One, like, you can, it can more seamlessly be folded into the more traditional style of playing games instead of being a fucking gimmick. Like, that shit was cool, and they didn't show it at all during the press conference.
You know, Sony's got a consultancy firm they listen to, too. You know what it's called?
What?
We the Gamers.
Vox Populi. Oh,
okay, that's a good
segue.
Hey,
Griffin.
Hey, what?
They listen to
Griffin,
us.
What's your thing? What's your thing of the week?
Oh, you guys want to talk about fucking hardware? Sorry, I should have asked. Do you guys want to talk about fucking hardware?
Oh, yeah.
Best piece of gaming hardware I've bought this year.
Oh, no.
And perhaps...
You're
it's
a madman.
It's not going to be Wii U. Everyone calm down.
No, I know what it is, and you're still a madman.
When did you buy your 3DS?
I made the my 3DS XL. I bought that last year.
Oh, okay.
I made the jump, you guys. Jump ship.
Are you enjoying iOS games from 3 years ago?
Bought that HTC One. Guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game changer.
I'm sure it's a very nice phone.
I'm sure you guys are sheeple. I hate to drop the S word on you guys this soon into the cast, but you're sheeple and you're fucking brainwashed and you're all part of the fucking Steve Jobs Illuminati. Android is where it's at. So the games on offer on Android, it's not as bad as everybody like it. I feel
down.
Like the
I can't even take this straight. I feel like it's like a stand-up routine.
We'll get there. It's. It's antiquated thinking to say, like, people are only releasing games on iOS and not Android.
No, that's true. I mean, I look at these release lists every
week. Weekly basis. And not only that, I still have my iPad. And, like, I never gamed on my iPhone because I had an iPhone 4, which very quickly got outdated. Very quickly. The HTC One is, like, way more powerful. I could have upgraded to an iPhone 5, but I was waiting for them to drop that 6. At WWDC, they didn't.
No,
they announced iOS 7, which I got to play around with because we had some dev demos at E3. And it, like, it's flatter, and that's cool. There are buttons to turn off Bluetooth. That's great. Like, it just didn't get me excited, so I made that jump. And I got to say, it's pretty cool. Like, most games get released day and date, iOS and Android.
That is a dirty lie.
It's 50%.
Maybe a third. I would say a third.
How's XCOM or Home?
Look, trust me, Griffin. If you're making an argument to say that the HTC One is a better cell phone and like smart device than the iPhone, fine. I will say there's a possibility. I use an iPhone. I don't use an HTC One, so I can't really say. If you're saying it's a better or even like on par gaming device in terms of what games are on there, you are a madman that should jump off a cliff.
Okay. Can I finish?
Yes, go ahead.
I feel like this has been a far. I'm gonna start crying, and nobody wants
because
that
you
to
bought the wrong phone.
No, I bought a great phone. Here's the thing: I really never played any games on my iPhone. The ones that I did, I feel like there's a specific type of game that works really well on the iPhone. Like if I had my druthers, I played all of my games, like Super Stickman Golf and 2. Like I played that on the iPad because I like the bigger screen. Valiant Beers games. You know, like twitchy games, even like strategy games. Like I found it nicer to just, you know, have more real estate for virtual buttons and stuff to sort of rest on. Here's the thing, though. here's what Android has that iOS doesn't, is emulators.
Oh my god.
Wow.
You cannot make this argument.
I'm going to make this fucking argument.
Don't do it, because we just had a whole segment about DRM and why things got shut down, and a lot of it is this, is because you can't sell a system off emulators. That's not cool.
You can, and they are, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's my stance on emulators, and it's also the legal stance on emulators, is if you have the game, if you have the physical game, then it's not illegal to have a ROM of it. That's fucking law. That's law books 101.
That is true. That is the law.
And they will teach you that shit. So I have, I don't know if you guys know this, a almost complete Game Boy Advance collection that I usually tool around with my Game Boy Micro on. I just fucking got those ROMs. Now I have a Game Boy Advance that's inside my phone. I'm fucking at BB&T standing in line. I got to deposit a check. Oh, I got enough rounds, enough time for like 3 rounds of Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. And let me tell you, nobody on iOS has ever released a strategy game. This is because Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. That's law 101.
What about Final Fantasy Tactics on iOS?
Oh, Advance is way better.
Okay.
It's a way better game. I'm just saying, listen, I get most of the shit that you guys get, yeah, pretty late. I will concede that. But let me hit you with a few things. Emulators. Uh-huh. Boom. Front-facing speakers. Love that. Love those front-facing speakers. That fucking boom sound. It's like louder than most jam boxes I owned as a kid.
Uh-huh.
Let me hit you with this. The Vine app is pretty shitty. Vine is almost completely non-functioning. But you know what? They'll get around to fixing that. I'm so alone out here, guys.
Oh, okay.
I just don't get it.
I've been on that iPhone tip. Here. I've been on that iPhone tip since what, the 3? Mm-hmm. Since the original 3, and that was what, like 6-7. How long ago was the 3? How long
probably
ago
like
that
4
come
years
out?
Ago.
No fucking way was it 4 years ago.
3 yeah. years ago?
I got it right before I moved to Cincinnati, which was in 2009.
3S, 4, 4S, 5.
So 4. Wow,
so yeah, 4
Jesus.
Or 5 years.
It seemed like so much longer. I wasn't playing any fucking games on the iPhone, so why not try something else? I find that Android like user interface, like for all my phone shit that I do phone shit on, is I actually like a little bit better than iOS. Everything I do in my workflow is all tied into Google. Like fucking Google Apps, Google Maps, Google Voice, Google Translate. That's all on there, and it's fucking streamlined.
You're a pioneer, and I respect that.
I'm a pioneer. I'm out here fucking giving you guys all the Android news. That's another reason. It's sort of the same reason about the Wii U. It's like I was writing Wii U stories with no, like, passion about it because I didn't own one and, like, just didn't give a shit. And, like, by the way, post-mortem, I'm actually pretty glad I bought one before this E3. But now, like, when I write a Ouya story, it's like, Android, I get it. You know what I mean?
You know what the funniest part of all this, about Griffin being the pioneer and all? Pretty sure that? Android remains the most widely used mobile OS out there.
Yeah, that's a good sheeple argument for it. No, you're the sheeple. I'm a goat.
Can I say that I am really depressed now, and I'd like to talk about something else?
I want a 2-year contract. I won't be out from under this fucking thing until 2015. Oh,
guys.
Did you have any... when you went to the app store, whatever the fuck you guys call it, was it distracting with all the tumbleweeds? Was it hard to click on your whatever you wanted to buy?
Guys, somebody's been in the office all day, and I told him that he could come on the show if he wanted. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Hello?
I don't even know who this one is.
No, I don't either, actually.
I know who this one is. That sounds like
esteemed
board game developer Milton Bradley.
Are these the besties I've been hearing so much about?
Welcome, Mr. Bradley.
Hi, Mr.
Thank
Bradley.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Bradley, have you visited us before when I was on a bye week?
I know. I don't think I've had the pleasure to meet any of you.
Besties debut. Besties exclusive.
But it does seem you are aware of my work as a board game creator. Justin, I know you are quite a fan of board games.
Yeah.
Milton, you should actually say hi to Russ. He's one of your biggest fans.
Russ, what do you think of board game? Russ, are you there? Russ is no longer here.
Why can't Russ seem... I feel bad because we get all these fucking big names on the show. We get Milton Bradley. We get New York Giraffe. And Russ is never here to, like, rub... Texarkana Tumbleweed. We never get... He's never here to, like, rub elbows and make connections.
Yeah, he always misses them.
I am sorry. I will send him a note. Besties.
Have you guys ever noticed how Russ looks like New York Giraffe with glasses? Anyway, sorry, Mr. Bradley. Go ahead.
I wanted to come by because, as many of you know, I've been making board games for quite some time. As a matter of fact, I haven't released a new one since the year 1930. And I thought it was time to get back in the game, so to speak.
I hate to keep interrupting you, but I don't think they let dead people make board games anymore.
I am not dead. I've been sleeping in my home Pop-O-Matic bubble.
And okay. Also, it's worth noting that his last game, apparently, according to his testimony, came out 20 years after his death. So,
also, to be fair to Griffin, his skin is falling off of his face right now, so he does look dead.
It's terrible. Please, it's like a deleted scene from Death Becomes Her.
Do not focus on anything related to my corporeal being. I wanted to come by and introduce some new titles.
It's like all that we can... It's like, it's very prominent. It's very noticeable. You walk into the office with your fucking...
Please ignore anything about me. I am not to be noticed, even if I may seem zombie-esque.
Why wouldn't you call in, though? If you wanted to talk about games and not your physical presence, like, why wouldn't you just call in?
His eyelashes just fell on my glass of water.
I am not familiar with the telephone, as you so call it.
That was definitely around before you kicked it, Chief.
I am slow to pick up new devices.
Kind of a Luddite. I get it.
So tell us about your new games.
Gentlemen, I've been working on games. As I mentioned, I have not released a game since 1930. So these are some games that I thought, you know, get back in the game, enjoy myself, and spread the word. So number one on my list of games, we have, I don't know if you're familiar with my game called Candyland.
Yeah, it's really a very bad game.
Have you all played it?
Yeah.
Haven't really you noticed that there are wizards made of candy and witches and evil beings? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really encourage the young children to adventure through this land of candy?
Yeah, I noticed that just yesterday.
What if, instead of wizards and witches made of sweets, they were Irish people?
Okay, this is...
What would you think of that?
This is going to be really bad.
You'd sure be running yourself through that land much faster, wouldn't you?
Because... thanks for doing Irish people and not literally any other race.
I've got more, if you'd like.
I don't think I like.
How about one more?
Maybe like a more like. I know you've been fucking out of the game for a few centuries, but like, we're totally cool with Irish people now. Justin and I are among them. I'm kind of
what?
Ish.
Oh.
Ish. We're in the mix.
Well,
we got Irish in the mix.
How about this? Are you familiar with my game Mousetrap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know how generally people try to trap mice in their Depression-era homes. What if, instead of mice, they were Catholics?
Okay. Catholic mice or human beings?
Human Irish Catholics?
Catholics, although I dare say I wouldn't call them human. Ha ha ha. Or
Milton.
Perhaps Clue. Milt.
No, I think
have you heard of Clue before?
Milt.
You know how it's difficult to figure out who did the murder?
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, guess what? It's always the Japanese guy.
No. That one can't do it.
Oh, Milton, what a joy.
Is it a joy?
What a treat and a joy it is to have you.
What about Monopoly? Do you know who has a Monopoly on everything?
Yes, we do, we do, we do, we do, we know, we know, we know, we know, we know, we know, we know.
You don't have to say it, we get it.
We know.
Well...
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, no, okay. Thanks.
No, guys, it's really warm in here. 1 second. I'm going to turn on a fan.
Okay.
Oh, no. He's turning into dust.
Oh, his bones.
Out the
All
window.
Of his old, racist, shitty bones.
Beware of the Catholics.
Okay, yes. Thank you for your final message. I'm so glad you could join us on the series finale of The Besties.
I miss it. We need to talk about literally anything else. Chris Plant, what's your favorite thing of the week?
My favorite thing is Ken Levine writing his favorite movie's remake, Logan's Run.
That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. He, if you know much about his life, he left college to become a screenwriter in L.A. And
what kind of name is Levine?
Get out! Get out!
Yep, go. Go, be gone.
Okay, he's gone, guys. He's gone. Don't worry.
And he wrote this horrible movie called Devil's Advocate, in which the devil tries to seduce Amy Grant.
Wait, hold on. This is
not to be confused. No, it's not that Devil's Advocate.
No, this is a different Devil's Advocate. It was a romantic comedy when the devil tries to seduce Amy Grant.
Ken Levine wrote this?
She's an angel, and then they fall in love.
This is a movie that Ken Levine wrote.
Yeah. And
why have I never heard of this?
Because it didn't get made.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But how do you know it's terrible?
Because he said it was shit.
Oh, okay. So these aren't your words.
No, these are the words he told me when I said, that sounds pretty bad. And he said, yes, that was shit.
Well, it sounds like you brought up the badness and he just didn't want to be rude and be like, no, it's actually great. Fuck off.
Well, he was ran out of the town. And by ran out of the town, I mean...
into video games.
He didn't get more work. And then he came and did video games.
The story of video games.
It's sad because it is sad. But now he's big and famous, and now, of course, Hollywood comes crawling back. And he's getting to make the movie that, I guess, defined his sexuality. In one interview when I was doing research for a piece on him, he just, like, goes on about how he got to see the woman in it naked and how he loved to buy the comics. Mm-hmm. Because I guess the woman was naked in the
comics.
This
is Logan's Run you're talking about.
Yeah. But I guess it was very... important for his coming of age.
Yeah, I'm glad that you told me that. Yuck fest. That's
what about that's the porno yoga done Logan's that. Fun.
Now tell me what else gives Ken Levine a boner, Chris Butt.
I think D&D rolling a 20, you know?
Sure. Well, who wouldn't?
Yeah, amen.
That's
exciting. That is, it's just sort of a hard, like, I don't know.
Sure,
that'd be like getting assigned to do the Total Recall remake. Feel like,
which they treated with such TLC.
The difference is that Total Recall is a pretty good movie and Logan's Run's a bad movie.
I would
I'm
also
what
he's
the contract
good at...
looks like.
You sorry, know? Go ahead and point.
Sorry, I'm just curious what this contract looks like because he is like treated. How do I want to say that? He can do whatever he want where he's at right now, and people
right.
just like are like, okay, spend all of the money, and take time to do this. Well, Hollywood studios, they'll tell you that, but I don't think they really
I don't think they follow through
on are.
That particular
yeah.
promise. I'm very selfish. I'm a very selfish person. Mm-hmm. So when I saw this news, like I was excited. I like Ken Levine and I'm excited for him to, you know, have this dream gig. But at the same time, every second that he spends writing this movie is a second that he's not going to be working on a video game.
Yeah. I don't think you have to worry. I think it was going to take, you know, a while for the next one to come out anyway.
Right, and now it's going to take approximately one Logan's Run script longer.
But what if...
I sound like
and
too
this
wild.
And this is just me being, you know, I have no reason to believe this, but what if maybe him being focused on something else maybe allowed for the next game to happen a little faster? Because maybe he wouldn't be so...
controlling.
You know, controlling.
No, he's not going to let his studio go and make a game that he doesn't have full control over.
Well, he does have more writers, at least.
Yeah, but they all have to go through his approval. I'm not saying he's wrong in having an approval process, but I'm like, there's no way he's going to take 3 months to write this script, come back, and then, hey, dude, we made this indie game. It's coming out tomorrow.
The approval process to exist at the same time as he's writing something.
Yeah, but how long does it? The script's not going to take longer than 3 months.
So what's your favorite thing in the week, Fresh?
okay, we could go into mine. Mine is the best memory recalled from shop class, thanks to an iOS game that I played this week called Bridgie Jones.
I don't have that one.
It's called Bridgie Jones. It doesn't come out on, what is your device? The Palm Pilot Pre?
It's actually a Tiger handheld of Batman, the movie.
Oh. No, they have a version of that, but there's only like two animations, one where the bridge is standing and one where it's fallen. I don't know if any of you guys, I'm sure you all took shop class. You're burly gentlemen. It seems like you
absolutely
would.
Absolutely not.
They none of you, really?
School. Yeah, we didn't have shop class.
Home ec? What did they replace it with?
I took home ec, but that involved us putting, I got a grade. It was like a week-long session on how to put shredded cheese on top of chips and put it in the microwave. And then you have
how do you do that?
So first of all, you're going to have to buy some chips. And okay. You need to have shredded cheese. And really, that step is vitally important. Because if you try to do mozzarella or like a Gouda, then it's going to be delicious no matter what. I went to a Montessori nacho school. So they really let the kids like teach themselves and teach the teachers when it came to, you know, Gouda.
Well, I went to high school that had shop class. And one of the segments that we had, which is actually, from what I understand, pretty common, is they give the kids sticks of balsa wood, and you're tasked with making a weight-bearing bridge. And the idea is you do arches or, you know, stabilizing angles, and it's supposed to teach you about physics or something. Apparently, I am awesome at this.
Yeah.
Because I rocked it.
My elementary school, in my talented and gifted classes, we did this with toothpicks. Called my bridge Golden Gate 2000 because it was 1996.
Wait, you did this? How old were you?
It would have been 9.
What are you trying to say? Nine. So,
I'm just saying that 9 years old is you've got your motor skills down, but you're terrified of girls, and your general mechanical engineering skills are non-existent.
Well. Apparently they're awesome because I totally rocked it, and even though I was quite old when I did it.
Tell me this, the game.
And the game is essentially that. You are a prospector with a furry dog driving a train, and there you go. Oh, sorry, the bridge stuff. I need to mention the bridge stuff.
Yeah.
So you've got these planks, and you are essentially trying to get the prospector from... There's a series of different tracks that you're trying to complete, and you're trying to build these like sustainable bridges using... ropes and pulleys and planks and stuff like that. And the fewer planks you use, the more points you get. And I find it oddly soothing. I played it on the flight all the way out to E3. And it's just like one of the more relaxing iOS games that I've played in a while, because it's just about making structures that stand the test of time. And I also appreciated it because it referenced one of my favorite rom-coms of the late 90s and early 2000s, Bridget Jones's Diary.
That's literally one of the reasons why you like it, is because of the title.
Yeah, well, that was part of it.
It is a very good title.
And it's a fun game. Like, if you like bridge building, it reminds me of those levels in World of Goo where you had to build bridges out of the goo balls.
Isn't that like every level?
No, a lot of the levels are like you had to do like weird things where you'd have them rolling off cliffs and stuff. This is straight bridge building 101.
All bridges all the time.
Well, 102, really.
If your bridge fails, are there fatalities? Because that's kind of ghoulish.
Well, the dog and the prospector both die, but everyone else is fine.
That's ghoulish, and it's a serious game, and I can't believe that Apple let that on the store.
I know, I was shocked too. Anyway, it's quite good, and I enjoyed it.
Okay, well, I'll check it out in like 6 or 7 months.
Yep, I look forward to you checking it out. That's the end of the show, I think.
It peaked at Milton Bradley.
You bet we did.
That is a fucking stark picture of the landscape, huh? Thank you so much for joining us here on the Besties.
Who won?
I think Griffin.
It felt like Griffin, though, to me.
Here's the thing. I know that it's becoming customary, but I think because of like the bravery that I showed off, I think I do probably. It was a $600 win.
Okay, Griffin, hard fought, hard won.
expensive, very expensive, expensive very very permanent. Justin sent me an address yesterday with like the iMessage, and I didn't get it. I couldn't get it. I couldn't open it.
Yeah, what was that about? Because you asked me for my mailing address, and I sent you my street address and my zip code, and you said your whole mailing address. And I don't know why you need to know the city and state I live in, since you were born and raised there.
Well, that's what Droid runs on. It's the fuel that Droid uses to power its servos. It's the information that it fucking consumes and then poops out.
So, thank you. Congratulations to Griffin. Thank you for joining us on the show. We hope you've had some laughs, learned a little something. Hey, head over to Polygon.com. We got the last edition of Human Angle up. It's the story of the voice actor behind John Marston. It's a great piece.
It's fucking great, guys.
It's really good. We got the first edition of our embedded game development series, where we follow the development of a single game over the course of a year. And that's going to be a really interesting experiment. It's called How Games Are Made. It's about Defense Grid 2. That's on the front page right now. And we've got so much more for you. Just so stick around with Polygon.com and join us again on Friday for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends play the world's best game?